The following podcast may contain adult language and an abundance of pod people. So get ready, nerds, because we're talking 1956, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast. This is part of our retro We Watch episode. We're doing it all month. The whole month of November is going to be retro movies from the 50s and 60s. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
When did We Watch turn into a month?
Well, because we're doing...
We should just do a week.
We're changing the format a little bit. It used to be just 1 week. Now we're doing a whole month because we're fitting four
now
movies.
Now we got to say retro We Watch.
Retro We Watch.
For a month. Not just a week.
I find it interesting that you can say that, but not Portugal. I
can't say Portugal.
Portugal? It's retro We Watch.
Every time he tries to say it, it tickles me.
Can't do it.
You got a lot of fans because of that.
I know, whatever.
Kadish's mom is a fan.
Kadish's mom loves you.
She's good. Your biggest fan. She has a t-shirt with your face on it.
And I love her.
Anyway, guys, we're doing retro movies this whole month of November, so thank you for joining us. It's going to be a ton of fun. Vader's here. What's up, dude?
I am here. Retro We Watching.
Retro We Watch.
I love it. Used to be Retro Re-Watch.
Yeah, then but then Kadish was like...
We couldn't say it, so we changed it to Retro We Watch. Now it's Retro We Watch.
I'm changing it again.
Retro We Watch.
Retro... See, when you put the R on the retro, it makes the... I can say rewatch, but if I say retro rewatch, see, I can't do
it.
What is wrong with me?
Can't do it.
I bet if you had three more shots, you'd be like retro rewatch.
It's fine. Yeah. Did you just do it? Wow.
So, Jude's, you know. Skilled.
What's up, Jude?
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. I love this. This is my favorite
stuff of the month.
Yeah, of the year, I mean. I look forward to the retro shows that we do.
It is kind of
like November's coming around the corner. We get retro movies. Mm-hmm. It's so fun. I love it. Kadish is also here. Welcome, sir.
So this was Matt Vader's pick this week. Each one of us gets to pick a retro movie to watch in the month of November. And towards the end of the month, we're also going to be comparing and contrasting some of the modern remakes to the original. So this is going to be a fun month.
Yep, absolutely.
Yes.
Ooh, also, we're doing the original Twilight Zone for our Patreon.
That's true. Thank you so much for reminding me, Jude. Yeah, so if you guys want to sign up for saltynerdclub.com, we are doing exclusive podcasts for episodes of the original Twilight Zone. It's my pick for the month for a club member. It's so fun, guys. It's so fun. Join up. It's only $5. You get access to a bunch of podcasts, plus our backlog stuff where we're doing like Star Trek and Doctor Who and all that stuff. But specifically, Twilight Zone is this month for November as part of the Retro We Watch thing. And I'm having a blast. I hope you guys can join
us. We're not putting those out public at all.
Nothing.
Yeah. Nope. And $5 gets you access to all of the Patreon episodes, but the $30 tier gets you access to all of our outtakes.
Yes, the bloopers that we cannot put out there.
You want to hear me not say porkajol?
It's that every week.
And swear a lot.
And swear and say dirty jokes and dirty stories. There's a elevator involved at some point in time.
Oh, God.
That joke's 2 years old.
It is.
But God, man, that was a weird story, bro. Anyway, sign up, saltynerdclub.com. Before we get into this movie, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back, so stay tuned.
That way lies madness.
What's wrong with madness?
Welcome back. Hey, if you guys want to support what we do here, go to saltynerd.com/DC and download a mobile game called Dragon Champions. It's a ton of fun. We all play it. You guys get to collect your heroes, upgrade them, go on the warpath. And once you reach level 20, after typing in Salty in the promo code area, which gives you a little bit of a leg up, you can join our podcast guild, the Salty Nerd Podcast Guild. It's ran by JT, who's in studio today, listening in and helping us out on the side.
He's being our Jamie today.
But Dragon Champions is a really cool game. The developers really like our podcast and wanted to support us, so they gave us access to their business, and we generate some money off of you guys playing the game. So it's completely free to you. There's no charge whatsoever, but by playing that game, you guys can help support us here at the podcast. Don't forget, type in Salty in that promo code area to get full credit and also let them know that you came because of us. That's saltynerd.com/DC, Android and Apple. All right, Jude. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
All right. 1956, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, rated PG with a runtime of 1 hour 20 minutes. This had a budget of $415,000.
Wow. Whoa. What?
What do you think this brought into the box office?
1956 money? Mm-hmm. It cost $400,000 to make?
Yeah.
I'm just going to guess. I have no idea. I have no reference for 1956 money. I'm going to say it made $1 million.
Okay. Vader?
That's kind of where I was going to go. I mean, this is a classic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it spawned a remake. I don't know.
The one with Donald Sutherland?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a Nicole Kidman one, too.
Yeah. Two remakes, I guess.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like to just say the same thing as Alex, but I think he's probably right there.
Okay.
Probably around $1 million. Yeah.
Sorry. Does Kanish know? Did you
find out? $1 million and $1.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So Invasion of the Body Snatchers had a budget of $415,000 and had a box office of $3 million.
Whoa. Wow. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's like six times its budget. Seven times.
Well done, little movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, it's kind of funny because right before they were scheduled to shoot, the studio came in and slashed the budget from 415 to 350 and knocked off 4 days of shooting.
Oh my God.
And so they had to scramble at the last minute to deal with like the lack of money and shorter shooting schedule.
God damn, everybody
just gave Becky less money, probably.
Everybody. Don't be a hysterical woman. You're fine. At least you're getting paid.
Come here, dude. Let me walk you across the road.
We can't pay you, but we can give you a crate of cigarettes.
I'm going to hold your arm while I walk you across.
So for Double Jeopardy, can you guys guess what the special effects budget was on this movie?
So $400,000 total. Well,
they did make a lot of pods. It was pods and there was some foam involved.
Foam, soap.
Soap.
Suds and a couple of fake bodies.
$50,000, Bob.
$50,000?
$5,000.
Alex?
A lot of pods. Yeah, probably 10. I'm changing my answer like 10, 15,000.
Shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to go low. $8 million. $8,000.
So we have 8,000, 15,000, and 5,000. It was 15,000.
Wow.
Kaboom.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's two speedboats today.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't get over how good everybody looks in this freaking movie.
No.
God, the 50s.
People were very
put together back then.
Put together.
Yeah. Nobody had sweatpants.
No.
All the ladies wore their finest pearls out to the grocery store.
You know,
sit on the lawn.
I've talked about my grandparents, I think, before, but my grandparents and my their friends, not my grandpa so much because I was around him all the time, but when they would go out with their friends or when their friends would come over, like on Sunday afternoons or whatever, they were dressed.
Yeah, yeah.
They wore their dresses.
Sunday best.
And then his dude friends had suits on.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was very strange. So, but it was, you know, it was just how you were. You dressed for occasions. And,
so
we're just a bunch of slobs.
Yeah, on this subject, it's funny because, I went on a date with my wife yesterday, and we both dressed, like, dressed. Like, I had a suit, I had a nice jacket, tie, the whole deal. And we went to drop our kid off, and we walked in the archery place. We were dropping him off so his aunt could take him. And everybody there was like,
those the owners of the archery place.
Like, what are you two doing tonight? Like, we're going on a date, and I heard somebody in the background go, "You have to dress up for those." Like, I'm like, yes, find an excuse.
Yeah,
dressed to the nines. It feels great. I love it, man. Yeah. I miss this stuff. I wish I was around in this era. Like, put your suit on.
You're an old soul.
I am.
Yeah. That is so true. I burned all my suits, man.
You burned them?
I did. I got rid of them.
How dare you?
I used to have like a whole closet full. And I shit-canned them.
Were there gremlins in them?
Nope. I used to have to wear a suit to work. And I hated wearing a suit every day.
Yeah.
And then when I got shit-canned, I said, nope, no more. And I grew this. And I threw them away. I literally threw all my suits in the garbage.
Wow.
It was awesome.
All right, Jude, let's take it away. Let's get into this.
In a town full of hysterical women and children, Dr. Miles Bunnell does his best to calm the mass hysterics that have suddenly plagued the citizens of Santa Mira while wooing back his old love, Becky. When Dr. Bunnell is called to the home of a patient, they find what appears to be a dead body. But when it comes alive, they piece together a conspiracy of pod people that are taking the place of the townsfolk while they sleep. Becky and Miles are the last two people in town that haven't been replaced. But nobody can stay awake forever, and it never occurs to either of them to sleep in shifts. Discuss.
This main dude, Miles, guy's got a chin that could sink the Titanic.
Yes, he does.
My God.
Dude, Kevin McCarthy, who plays the main character, Miles. So I know him best from one of my all-time favorite movies, Innerspace. He was the bad guy in Innerspace.
Oh, right.
And so, like, the entire time I'm watching this, I'm just, like, picturing him as, like, a little midget because he gets shrunk down in that movie.
Oh, I hated that movie.
Oh, he's such a good guy in this one.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah. He's
the town doctor, man.
He's the town. Everyone. That's another thing.
Everybody knows who the town doctor is.
That's the other thing I miss about this
stuff.
They're
all at his house.
Yeah.
They're all like, come over to my house.
Come over. Time. Yeah. Oh God. I miss it, dude. Like yeah. I've always
doctors made house calls.
I've always felt like that needs to come back. I've seen some people try to bring it back and I'm like,
they're called concierge doctors.
Yeah.
I
FaceTime my doctor now.
Really? Yeah. It's weird, yeah. Right? How you feeling? Oh, you know, got a sore throat. Okay, go do some of this.
Yeah.
But you know, I grew up small town. You guys know this. There was two doctors in town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the town was kind of split between you go see this doctor or you go see that doctor. You're either Dr. Leibold people or you're Dr. Falk people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you don't mingle. The folks don't mingle with the
like a, it's literally the plot to arachnophobia.
It's really funny. But for some reason, all of the other doctors' people knew all the other ones because they were secretly going to the other doctors because, you know, one doctor might be a little more loose with
opioids.
Yeah. It's really funny, dude. Yeah. Oh, so, man. You know, the small town doctors are an important part
of these
small town communities. They're pillars. They literally know everyone in town.
Mm-hmm.
They know everybody's secrets. They know everybody's little medical things. You know, they know who's got the herpes and the syphilises.
Ed's got direct.
There's literally a scene in this movie where he runs into another doctor and he's like, oh, have you met my date? And the older doctor's like, met her. I delivered her.
Yeah, Yeah.
He's like, oh, do you know Becky? I should. I brought her into the world.
I brought her into the world myself. I know.
He's smoking while he was delivering her.
Yeah. You're doing great. Push a little harder.
I think it's why I have such a hard time with my doctor that I have now. Cause you know, it's so.
Oh, the medical system's fucked.
It sucks. Yeah. He's a fucking conveyor belt doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there, there's 47 people in the waiting room.
Yeah.
And you go back in the room and the nurse takes your info and, well, what are you here for? And you spend
it's
5 minutes with her.
All day affair.
Yeah.
And then, no, mine's really quick. He's literally a conveyor belt doctor. And he comes in, pulls your name up on the computer. So how you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling okay, doc. You know, and then
what the fuck are you doing here?
Like, what are you doing here? You know, it's like, well, I got a sore throat thing. Well, I want to get you some of this, and here you go. And boom,
maybe you should
out.
Have a woman make you a sandwich.
And then, I'm gonna have you go get some blood, and then I'll call you if there's anything wrong. And that's it.
Yep.
That's it. I just did my entire doctor visit.
Yeah.
And it pisses me the fuck off because you cannot get to know your doctor. You need to know your doctor, and he needs to know you.
He doesn't need to know. You're a number. Thing, you're a number on a piece of paper.
My doctor nonsense. Knows us very well. She listens to the
show. Yeah. My doctor, he's a nice dude, but man.
Hi, Dr. Church.
I do. This is a bygone era, though. Like when the doctor of the town, everybody knows him. They're all talking to him. And I need to know what the relationship is with this chick. So they used to go out together.
Yeah.
And then he left to go to medical school or something. And then he came back.
So they both left town and got married and then got divorced. Remember when they were like, oh, I was in Reno too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you got a quickie divorce back in the day.
Oh, really?
So them both saying, oh, I was in Reno. Well, I was in Reno too. When were you there? I was there in August. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That's all because they're saying
so they got married.
Their marriages failed.
Okay.
And then they both went to Reno to get quickie divorced.
Oh.
Now they're both back in town so they can rekindle their old relationship.
I had no fucking idea what they were talking about. I was like, why are they talking about
Reno?
See,
at first I thought they were, I thought she was married.
Yeah, yeah.
And that he didn't give a F.
No,
but he's going to move in on his old girl.
His nurse is like, oh, Becky's back in town. And he's like, I'm not interested in married women.
Yeah.
And then that whole conversation talk about Reno lets you know she's divorced.
Right. Wow. I think I missed some of the context of that conversation.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot more sense now. I really was lost because I guess I'm not part of the... I'm not very savvy with the 60s jargon.
Well, I mean, back then there were only a couple of states that allowed divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to go there to get one.
That's crazy. Cool. Anything to say, Kadesh?
Oh, I have lots of stuff to say.
Yeah,
take it away.
What do you got?
So this is basically based off of a serialized story from Collier's Magazine by an author named Jack Finney. And it was later collected into an actual novel format by Dell Books. And in the book, basically, there are these spores from outer space that fall into this like remote farming town. They grow into these pods and they would mimic people in the town. And when the people fell asleep,
mm-hmm.
the pods would basically disintegrate their bodies and replace them with like the things that they grew. And these pod people would have like zero emotion. and they would only live for like 5 years. And so as like the people of the town begin to realize something's wrong and these people aren't right, and they discover what happens, they realize that like all of humanity will basically be extinct within like, you know, a couple decades or like whatever, if these pod things keep going. And it was kind of like a metaphor for like,
communism,
not communism, even though that metaphor has been made, but it was actually a metaphor for like, you know, like resource, like
environment,
not necessarily environment, just like harvesting too many resources, mm-hmm. and like, you know, like
strip mining the earth.
Exactly. Yeah.
Depleting the earth.
And it's kind of funny because in the book, the pod people decide that, humanity is just a bunch of assholes because they keep fighting them. And so they send their spores back into space and just leave. And they leave all the pod people behind, and humanity basically wipes out the remainder of the pod people by killing them. And it's a happy ending. But in all the movie remakes, they actually take the extra step of making it a dystopian tale. And so like they end it on like a kind of
ambiguous,
not ambiguous, but like more of a depressing note. Mm. So like the original ending for this movie was going to be on the bridge where Kevin McCarthy's running around and it's like, you know, that they're coming for you, you're next. Mm-hmm. And that was going to be the end of it. But the studio, basically this movie was produced by a studio named Allied Artist Pictures, which was kind of like the Roger Corman of the time. Like they specialized in kind of like cheap genre pictures. And they came in and they're like, audiences aren't going to like this because it's too depressing. And so they made them go back and reshoot all the stuff with like the doctors and like the mental ward and stuff like that. And the happy ending, where basically they call the FBI and the FBI is like, we're on this alien invasion thing.
Yeah.
And that was basically a last minute addition to the movie, even though the director didn't want to actually like, you know, add that in. It's kind of funny because none of the actors in those scenes are credited in the final credit sequence because the final credit sequence was finished before they shot that stuff and added it into the movie. it's kind of funny because this movie actually like went through like a lot of like weird changes in the editing room. So like Kevin McCarthy, when he was originally cast, he didn't like the script because he felt like the script was like very kind of like flat and too serious. And director Don Siegel, who was really well known for being like a guy who like sat down, he'd like plan out all of his movies and he had a really efficient shooting style. And he went on to like kind of like make Clint Eastwood, Clint Eastwood, like he directed Dirty Harry and, you know, Escape from Alcatraz and all that stuff. He agreed with Kevin McCarthy. And so like while they were shooting, they added in like a lot more humor and a lot more characterization stuff. And when they created their rough cut of the film, they had like a screening of it where it had like a lot more jokes and stuff to it. And the audiences didn't understand the humor. And the studio came in and it's like, you can't put jokes in a, you know, sci-fi thriller. You have to cut all these out. And so like they had a big fight with the studio. The studio eventually ended up locking the director out of the editing room.
And
taking out all the jokes. And made it more of a straight up like, well, now, you know, thriller.
I want to see the jokey version.
Yeah, it's like Batman campy version. I can't get over the aesthetic. What's his love interest name again?
Becky.
God, she's freaking gorgeous.
She's got like 6-inch waist,
dude. She's beautiful, and she every time I see her on screen, she's got this amazing dress on or something like that.
Gorgeous,
so pretty. And the other thing I love about this too is like when you walk into somebody's house, immediately they're like, would you like a drink? Let me pour you a drink. And they walk behind a legit bar.
Driscoll's house. I was like,
I want that house too. Yeah, he's got a full bar right there with the glasses overhead.
Yeah. He's got the pool table.
Got a whole thing. I'm like, that's freaking living right there.
That's a man cave.
Growing up, I lived on a like an L-shaped dead end road. So if you go down one, that's a dead end. But if you go down the other road that it's connected to, also a dead end. Mm-hmm. And we, all of the kids who lived in the neighborhood, we would party from my end all the way to the other end. And my friend Marion, who I think listens to the show, hi Marion, her bedroom was her basement in her parents' house. Okay. And they had a bar just fully stocked. And she had a sliding glass door that to and from her basement. We would just like, roll up at midnight and start making cocktails. Yeah.
I love it, man.
Which is how I started my bartending career.
This whole aesthetic of this show from the 1956, man, I adore it. I think it's so freaking cool. The guy's got a giant freaking pipe.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He's smoking a pipe while he's making drinks. Look at him. He's a professional.
Matt was like, I need a pipe like that. While we were watching it, I'm like, I want it, baby.
I would, if you order one, get me one too. I want one of those. I want like a Gandalf pipe that comes down to here.
That's a nerd pipe.
Yeah.
That's a man's pipe right there.
No, man. Give me a Gandalf.
I had an uncle who had a pipe like that. And he always had it, man.
We all had that uncle.
Yeah. And the one uncle in this movie who the niece suspects is like a pod person. Mm-hmm. He's out there mowing the lawn. He's got a corncob pipe.
Uh-huh. Why is it always an uncle with a pipe?
I don't know.
It's weird.
It's your mom's brother.
My uncle Louie had a pipe.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
this was my grandma's brother.
So one of the cool things about this, so we talked about how it was a very cheap special effects budget, and all the pods that they have in the movie are paper mache. Uh-huh. And what was interesting is that so all the bodies that come out of the pods were actually like, you know, dummies. Mm-hmm. And there are pictures out there of like the process that the actors went through to get an entire body mold made.
Oh, gosh.
And so like the it's really interesting, like their entire body was covered and they had like those like straws poking out of their nose to like breathe.
Wouldn't have fooled Batman.
And it was like a multi-hour process to like make these molds.
Sure. How claustrophobic.
Where like the actors would have to lay on this like wooden board and like have this done. And the molds that were made, like when they came out of like the molds, even though the actors would wear bathing suits while they were like, you know, having the molds taken, the actual bodies that came out of them for the movie were naked. And so when they were making the movie, people were objecting to the director. It was like, there's nudity here. And he's like, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And they covered it up with like the bubbles and stuff like that. So it got around like the whole censorship thing. But there was like a big outcry from the studios, like, you're putting naked people in this movie.
Everyone knows people don't get naked.
Yeah. But the special effects, so like the budget was so tight and the shoot was so short that every time you see a body coming out of like the paper mache pods, it all had to be done in one take.
Yeah.
And you can tell like that there's a scene in there where like Kevin McCarthy like takes out like these pods from his trunk and he lights like a signal flare and burns them up. And it takes him a couple tries to get the signal flare going. And that was because they were just like, it's fine. You know, one and done. We got to move on.
That looks real.
It looks real. Yeah.
And one of the interesting things about this movie is they actually shot night for night. So like the scenes where it's like night out, it's actually night out and they're shooting like late at night. Whereas, you know, day for night, it's where you shoot during the day and you make it look like night. And it's a cheaper process because, you know, it's easier to shoot during the day.
And it's all black and white. But honestly, you don't even think, oh, this is a black and white movie.
No.
You're just so invested in every scene because every scene is so pretty. It doesn't even need color. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
And you guys kind of talked about like the suits that people wear back then. And like Kevin McCarthy, like he's in this like, you know, like basically three-piece suit. Running around. And what's crazy about this movie is like there's so many chase scenes that Kevin McCarthy was actually like, you know, having to sprint in this suit in the heat, you know, like running around doing this stuff. And he actually almost like passed out from exhaustion a couple of times because like they were shooting back to back, him running at like full speed, you know.
Awesome.
It's hard running away from
aliens. And the actress who played Betty, is that
Becky.
Her name? Becky. You know, she was doing it in heels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a corset.
One of the scenes that I remember specifically was when they finally figure out what's going on and they're in this like greenhouse or whatever where the pods are and they're releasing these bodies. And he grabs a pitchfork and he's like, he's going to go in there and he's going to go kill him. And he looks at the body and it's like, it's his girl, right? He doesn't want to kill the girl, but he knows deep down it's not really her.
He goes over to the one that looks like him.
Yeah, he skips the chick. He doesn't stab that one. Instead, he goes over to the one that looks like him and starts hacking away at it with this pitchfork. I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, this guy freaking was like, I can't do it. She's too beautiful. Uh-huh. What are the odds if there's two? Anyway, I feel like
two chicks at the same
time. Oh man, I had a blast with this movie. It's not my favorite. I think as far as retro goes, I think I had more fun watching things like Angry Red Planet or Robinson Goes to Mars or something like that.
Whose pick was this? Was it Vader's?
It was Vader's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I gave you guys like three picks and we somehow went with this one.
I'm glad.
I'm glad we did because it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
This is like a legit like classic movie, you know, that spawned remakes and stuff. You know, I mean, it's just one of those movies. I think that if you're a cinemaphile or whatever we call those, you probably should have watched this.
I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah, sure. I had never seen this version of it before.
I haven't seen either.
So glad that we watched it.
Haven't seen either of the remakes either. So I'm starting with the original.
What's funny about this movie is a lot of people view it as like a metaphor for something else. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of people say, oh, it's about the McCarthy era or it's about communism or like whatever. Don Siegel was actually a well-known kind of like on the sly, like right winger. And he always said like, no, it's just about aliens. but like what's interesting about it is like you can read different metaphors into it if you want to. So it kind of makes it like a little bit deeper.
On first watch, I was totally like, oh, this is communism. Like you have to figure out which one's the commie.
Why do always people always have to like
communism was just a red herring.
It's just a red herring.
People always have to like read extra shit into movies. You know, I get it.
That's what we do, man.
Sometimes you just enjoy a movie.
It's aliens
plant people are invading.
They're emotionless, heartless, and everything is shared, and the whole world will be given equally among each other. I'm like, oh, it's
communism. I mean, was it an allegory for something? I don't know, maybe. Could have been. I don't care. Whatever. Yeah. I just want to watch a cool alien movie.
Yeah. I love the paranoia aspect of this. And in a lot of ways, this reminds me of like the Stepford Wives and how like, who can you trust? Can you trust your neighbor? Can you trust your friend? Can you trust your own spouse?
Yeah.
Like in a lot of ways, there's a lot of parallels to that.
Yeah. I like that her father, when she walks in and she's like, what are you doing in the basin? I was just working on the shop.
Yep.
And it's like, wait a minute. he's snatched.
He's a pod person.
He's a pod person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this movie brought up like that term pod people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know?
We are pod people. Podcasters.
I'm not a pod people.
You're a pod people.
Well, I podcast people. Yeah, okay.
He just got it.
I'm a pod person.
You guys ready for final thoughts? Well, or you got anything
real quick before we move on to final thoughts. So do you guys know the director Sam Peckinpah?
Yes, I recognize that name. Chopping Mall. Yes. They referenced him in that.
So he was kind of like the Quentin Tarantino before Quentin Tarantino. He directed The Wild Bunch, and he kind of revolutionized like violence in cinema. Mm-hmm. Like he was the first one to really show like truly like graphic, gory violence.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't even allowed to show blood at one point.
Yeah. So basically, he was the protege of the director of this movie, and he actually had a small role in this film as one of the meter maids. And there's a scene of him. He's like the skinny guy with like a pencil thin mustache where he's like, we're not going to hurt you in the film. And he, for years, he went around saying like he did a bunch of uncredited rewrites on this movie. And it got to the point where like the actual guy who wrote this movie came out and was like, Sam, stop lying. Like, you didn't write shit for this movie.
Stop saying that.
It's like, I was in the movie. You were an extra. It's like, calm down.
I made that movie.
Yeah.
You were there while it was being made. he asked you to leave a bunch.
It's just kind of funny that like he went on to become like this legendary filmmaker.
That's cool.
And it all started with like the tutelage of Don Siegel.
I dig it. All right, let's do some final thoughts on this. Jude.
Yes.
Give me your final thoughts and a rating.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Classic sci-fi. Retro.
Retro sci-fi.
Retro WeWatch.
Retro WeWatch.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I think Kadish thought it was a little bit boring when we first watched it. I don't know how he feels now. But like when we first watched it, I was like, oh, my God, that was great. I had such a good time watching this. And sometimes there's movies that we watch for the show that I'm like, I can't believe I've never seen that before. And this is one of them. Mm-hmm. So this was great fun. I would watch it again. I would show it to other people who have never seen it. I highly recommend that you watch it. If you love movies and you love horror movies and you love sci-fi movies and you like old movies, something for everyone. This is 4.5
Wow,
pods out of 5.
Very strong.
Yeah, I loved it. I'm so glad we watched it.
Cool, right on. All right, V, your turn.
I feel like we haven't even talked about this movie yet. This is just like we're like zipping through
it. We are zipping through a little bit, but yeah, it's, I mean, I just can't get over it. The main thing for me is just I wish I was like in this era. Like 1956.
You say that every time we watch an old movie.
I fucking love this stuff,
man. I wish I was alive back then.
I do. Like my grandparents' time is like, it just looks so clean and cool.
I even love the nightgowns.
Yeah. Everybody's proper. Everybody's put together. It's not schlubby.
Separate beds.
Well, that didn't really happen.
Dick Van Dyke stuff.
Yeah. No, that was just for TV.
Okay.
Look at him in his like 4-piece pajamas and robe. Amazing.
I'm just jealous of the guy has a bar in his front room. Like you walk in the front door and boom.
Dude, you can build that.
Driscoll's house is the house I want.
It's the shit. Yeah.
It's a great house.
Yeah. He's got like a tiki bar in his basement.
Oh, real quick. I'm sorry. I should mention this. The investigator who comes in and like is talking about like the body that they found. He's like, well, you know, you can stab somebody in the back of the neck with an ice pick and the naked eye can't see it. What the fuck are you talking about, dude? Right?
So there's controversy around whether or not that character is already a pod person by the time this scene happens. So like, it's like, is he just, you know, being a devil's advocate or is he actually a member of the pod people?
He's trying to cover it up.
I love the scene. Sorry. I know you guys are trying to wrap up, but I love the scene when they're all in Becky's dad's basement and the cops just show up through the window. They're like, hey, what are you doing down there?
Remember when they saw that fat meter cop?
Hey, who's down there? Oh, it's just the gas guy. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You're in my basement. Yeah, that's cool, right? Okay. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. And the scene when the doctor breaks into Becky's house, it feels creepy, even though, you know, he's there to like rescue her, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because he figured it out.
Yeah. Oh, there's that great scene where like Kevin McCarthy drives the car up and he forgets to put it in park as he's like trying to get out and the car keeps going. He's like, oh my God. And they didn't bother to do a second take on it.
That's fine. One take at all.
Didn't bother me at all.
What's
notice. I didn't even notice.
I didn't notice either.
It's just how you park cars back in
the day. It's just how I forgot to put it in park. Goddamn. Infernal machines. Goddamn. Where's my cigar? Oh man, I wonder how many DUIs people got back then. Was a DUI even a thing? Mm-mm. Oh man, there's so many drunk drivers out there.
Seatbelts weren't even a thing.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, they weren't wearing any seatbelts.
Like, I had a couple cocktails at George's house. I'm fine.
Well, originally when
how did we survive?
When the car manufacturer started making cars, they didn't want seatbelts in them because it gave the impression that their cars weren't safe.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, they used to fight that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, cars in those days, they could take some damage.
They could take a beating. Those things were solid. These freaking piece of shit aluminum.
Might call it death proof. But you really gotta be in my seat.
I love that you say that with that poster right behind your head.
Yeah.
I dig it. We have to watch that movie. When are we gonna watch that
movie? No, we keep saying we're going to.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm getting upset.
How many pods?
Why are you getting upset?
Because we have so many stupid rules and laws about stupid shit now.
It's just to save people's lives.
You can't even put your kid in a car. Anymore without special seats and
that upsets
and
you
until they're 12 years old. It's like, listen, I grew up riding around in the back of my dad's pickup.
I think there's more stupid people now who drive.
I don't think there is. I think there's people that just need more dumb laws.
No, there's more.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Way more people,
and they don't make cars like they used to. Mine is literally a Lego set.
Buy a real car, and you won't have that problem.
You got a 1956.
Why are you buying a death trap? It's like 4 feet tall and 6 feet long. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway,
how many pods do you get this movie?
Four pods.
Four?
Yeah.
Shit. Okay.
I had a good time with this movie. It's fun. It's a classic. Everybody should watch it.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff. It's everything I just said. Good things. It's good things.
It's good. That's good movie. Yeah, good movie.
I mean, you see, it's a classic. What else can you say?
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
You know, it's a old movie that everybody should watch. And if you haven't yet, like I hadn't before this, then shame on you, I guess. Go watch it.
Shame on you last week when you didn't watch it. Yes,
for me, for real.
Terrible person.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I need to watch the remakes now. All right, Kadish, final thoughts. Give a rating.
So it's kind of funny that this movie was initially meant to be like a low budget schlocky sci-fi kind of throwaway B movie, and it became a classic and it really popularized the short story, and then it went on to go through like I think four different remakes, you know, like it's become like a really kind of like ingrained in pop culture and the social fabric and stuff like that. I found it very boring. It was, you know, the first half of this movie is just like people walking around, like, you know, in suits and going to restaurants and having martinis and stuff like that. And once the pod stuff started happening, it got a little bit more interesting. But at the same time, the scene on the bridge where Kevin McCarthy is running around trying to warn everyone, and he turns to the camera and he's like, "You're next, you're next." That would have been a great place to end it, which was the original ending of the movie. So I think like adding in like the happy ending stuff with like the framing device that they ended up going with in this movie was the wrong choice ultimately, even though like it's a, you know, it's a happier ending. But I really love seeing Kevin McCarthy because, like I said, all I know him from is like Inner Space. And he's one of those actors who, like, you think you've seen him in more movies that he just wasn't in, you know, because he's just got like one of those, you know, faces. But it was a fun movie. And oh, this scene right here, that's Sam Peckinpah right there.
That's him?
That's him.
Yeah. Oh, the gas guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of fun to like see like, you know, little cameos like that from like a legendary filmmaker. It's kind of funny to know that the director of this movie went on to direct like a lot of like Clint Eastwood's most iconic movies. And it's just it's got a good pedigree to it, but for the most part I just found it kind of like a little bit too slow paced for my liking. And that's one of the reasons I don't like a lot of like 1950s movies is because I find them very slow and goofy. But overall, like it's a decent enough movie. I'd give it like, you know, 2 pods out of 5. So.
All right. My favorite aspect of this is these two's relationship.
Becky and Miles.
Becky and Miles. his sly comments throughout the whole movie.
He's so sexual.
Oh my God. Like there's a scene where she says something like, "Oh, is this an example of your bedside manner, doctor?" And he's like, "That comes later, baby." And I'm like,
"No,
God damn!"
Yeah, the innuendo was strong.
Oh honestly. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
If Miles were alive today, he'd be sliding into DMs.
Oh yeah, he's sliding into several DMs. But their relationship.
Dr. DM.
That's gonna be somebody's account now, Dr. DM. Anyway, I love their relationship together. They're just like freaking overtly sexual, like back and forth, but they're into it. You know, they're kissing each other and they're going to each other's houses and they have history. So it's not like weird or creepy.
They immediately fall in love.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
You're single?
Yeah. You're single again? Me too. Let's fuck. So,
one thing I wanted to ask you guys, the thing that really drove me crazy watching this movie, I was like, what happens to the original people? Like, how do the pod people take them over?
Well, they said they disintegrated, right?
Yeah, they assumed that the original disintegrates. They don't show it.
Yeah.
But later on in the movie, when Becky becomes a pod person, it was her, and then all of a sudden it's not her. Yep. So it's like, how exactly does that work?
I picked up on that immediately. It's like, that's not how it's supposed to work. The pods are supposed to form when the people go to sleep, and then the other people die, and like, disintegrate or something.
Which I'm not sure what the connection is, because the pod doesn't have to be anywhere near that person.
They have to be within proximity of it.
Do they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like
that's why they put them in the trunk.
In their basement or their trunk.
Is it like a telepathic thing? Around.
But the pod people all ran through that cave and then ran back out. They could have easily placed pods in there.
Mm-hmm. But at one point, Becky was Becky, and then she falls asleep. And the minute that she wakes up, she's not Becky anymore. She's a pod person. Mm-hmm. So if the bodies are supposed to disintegrate and the pod people just replace them, how did that happen?
I think that's a great question, Matt, and I don't think we have an answer.
That is a flaw.
Don't think
because
about it.
I did think about that when I watched that scene in particular, just like he did. Mm-hmm. I'm like, when I was like, that's not how it's supposed to work.
Not following their own rules.
Yeah.
I assumed that there had been a pod. The new Becky woke up. The old Becky disintegrated. And the new Becky put her clothes on and laid back down.
Okay.
All while in his arms. Right?
Yeah. He was asleep. It's fine.
He got up and he walked away. He was like, stay here. I'm going to go check it out. He walked down that hill and then he had to climb back up the hill and come back.
Well no. Like when he got back to the cave, Becky was still Becky because she was trying to keep from falling asleep. And when they fell in the puddle, she finally like succumbed to sleep. And that minute that she was asleep, she became a pod person.
Oh, no, I think she fell asleep and became a pod person before he got back, and she was faking it.
I guess
that's a possibility. But then when he kissed her, there was no emotion behind the kiss, and that's how he knew.
Guess we'll never know.
Sure. Hey, if you're Becky, pop in the comments. Let us know.
Anyway, for me, I kind of lean more towards Katie. It's just not my favorite. I had a great time watching it. Definitely a classic. Definitely needs to be watched. But I do think it was a little bit boring. More with Kadish. I'm going to give it 3 pods out of 5.
Okay.
I think I'm just really easy on these old movies.
Yeah.
If I enjoyed them, I'm going to give them a good score. It's not like watching all this other crap that they.
Yeah, we have higher expectations for movies that are coming out now because they have more resources and more budget. And like, this is the first time that movies like this were being made. So I give them a lot of leeway.
God, she's gorgeous.
I know.
That's so crazy.
I can't wear a cardigan like that. I look like a grandma.
Oh, man.
But I wear cardigans and Vader goes, you wearing your old lady sweater? This bitch, she walks.
She looks amazing. Yeah.
Like, She's goals.
I get it. All right, that's it for the discussion for our first retro rewatch, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Thank you guys for watching the video. Comment below what your favorite retro sci-fi movie is. It maybe it's on the list for this month. We have a couple other choices coming up here in the next couple weeks, so stay tuned. If you're brand new here, subscribe. We do this every year. We do a retro rewatch. We pick a bunch of old movies that we really want to talk about, and we have a ton of fun doing it. Matt Vader, where can they find you on the social?
You can find me at MattVader74 on the Twitter and the other social media places, and every Saturday morning right here on this channel with Mr. Kadish over there talking about salty Saturday morning stuff.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Right on. Jude, take it away.
You can find me at I Am Jude Juju on the socials and follow us on Facebook at saltynerdgroup.com.
All right. My man, Kadish.
You can find me at Matthew Kadish, K-A-D-I-S-H on Twitter and Truth Social. And if you guys are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or you have an Apple device, please hop on over to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating. We're trying to get 200 of those suckers so that we can be officially accredited as movie reviewers on Rotten Tomatoes. So we'd appreciate your help in achieving that goal. Thanks.
All right, guys. If you are a fan of retro, old school 50s and 60s sci-fi, make sure to head over to saltynerdclub.com and sign up for the club membership. We're doing Twilight Zone episodes this month for our exclusive podcast. You can only get them if you're a club member. There's no public access for these. So head over there. It's only $5. Gets you access to 5 special episodes where we're talking about and breaking down our favorite episodes of the Twilight Zone, the original, the black and white, the best.
It's been so fun.
Yeah, I'm having a blast doing it. And I reached out to my parents who watched these shows when they were first coming out, and they were like, these are our favorite episodes. Go check them out. So that's what we're checking out this month. So make sure you jump in there. We'd love to support. And you also get access to a huge backlog of content. We have the original series for Star Trek. We've got Doctor Who, Stargate Atlantis, all kinds of stuff. We've got interviews with David Hewlett. He hopped on with us for our exclusive stuff as well.
He's coming back on soon.
He will be back on soon, yeah. So join up. Help support the podcast, saltynerdclub.com. That's the place to be. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching the video. Stay salty.